Reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is chapter 15 in the conclusion of this Leela with the liberation of the two fallen Brahmins, Jagannanda and Madhavananda. They became free from all their sins by the mercy of Lord Gauranga and accepted into his entourage of Antaranga Bhaktas, and they fully embraced the Gaudiya Vaishnava religion and became pure devotees of the Lord. And they absorbed themselves in serving the Vaishnavas throughout the day and chanting the holy name of the Lord and worshipping Lord Gauranga. So this is a chapter that's called The Realizations of Madhavananda. Andekagora chandera kata bhati shiv shuk narada dayani na payoyata sapahun akinchana sange dina rati. Vrindavan Das, the author, says, see the characteristics of Gaurachandra, the Lord, who is not attained by the meditation of Shiva, Shukadeva, and Narad. He is spending his nights with those who have no material possessions. Akinchana Sange Dina Rati. So, Niskinchan, these are the devotees of the Lord that would spend all night together in Shiva's Pandit's house, in the temple and in the courtyard of the temple, which is called the Darshan Mandap. And they would engage in Harikata and also in dancing and chanting in Nam Sankirtan. Hena mate navadvipe vishambara rai ananta chintilila karye sadai. In this way, Lord Vishambara continually performed unlimited and conceivable pastimes in Navadvip. Vishambara rai. Heta sava prakashayo keha nahi chine Sindhu Maje Chandrajena Na Janila Mine. In spite of such manifestations, some persons could not recognize Vishambara, just as the fish in the ocean cannot see the moon. So the appearance and activities of Sri Chaitanya Dev are extremely gupta. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj refers to a avatar, which he describes as Channa avatar, in the age of Kali. He's making some prediction. And that verse describing the Channa avatar is actually referring to Lord Chaitanya. Jagai madhai dui Chaitanya kripai parama dharmika rupe vase nadi jai. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Jagai madhai lived in Nadia as highly religious persons. So before they were Parama Adama, they were the most fallen of humans due to their degradation and engagement in intoxication, arson. They're burning people's houses, robbing them, and lying around the streets half the time in a drunken stupor. And now they're the same two individuals are described as Parama Dharmika Rupe, Vase Nadia, Nadia Vas. So he lived in Nadia, and they were the very form of the topmost dharmic persons, paramadharmika. So they have a phrase that every sinner has a future, and every saint had a past. So the classic example is Valmiki. I'm not sure his varna, maybe he was a Brahmin, but he was engaged in robbing people. And he was accosted by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, he saw him and said, how is it you're engaging in all this violence and causing so much anxiety and fear to everyone, travelers on the road? He was a professional dacoit. And you're going to go to hell in the future and suffer so much karmic reaction, so much papafal from your gross sinful activities. So I'm here, I have appeared before you to benefit you, to benedict you, and to bless you. So I advise you that you should glorify the name of the Lord, because the Lord's name is so pavitra and powerful that it can annihilate and exonerate you from all your sinful reactions, annihilate all your sins. Such power is in Krishna's name and Bhagavan Nam Shakti, Prabhav. So then Valmiki said, I have no interest in this Ram Nam or Krishna Nam. or any type of mantra. I am Valmiki. I simply want to rob people. And sometimes they die also. They resist, and then I have to finish them. One goli, boom. So then Narada Muni, being very clever and intelligent, he said, all right then, listen, you're so much absorbed in this robbing and stealing and killing profession, and you simply chant Mara, Mara, Mara. Mara, Mara, Mara. Mara, Mara. So Mara, Mara, Mara. And as he was saying Mara, 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 Ra, Ra, Mara, Ra. And he lost track whether it was Ma, Ra, or Rama, and it became Rama, 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 Rama. And so he contacted Ram through Nam Sankirtan. He made connection with the Lord. And that connection was so profound and powerful that Valmiki was able to have darshan of the Leela of the Lord. He became totally pavitra, totally pure, so much that he could have in his Nam Samadhi, he was actually having Leela darshan, Leela pravesh. This is a type of samadhi that he actually entered the Leela of the Lord, and he was able to write the famous work in Sanskrit called Ramayana. So these great sinners, Jagga and Madai, they had gotten delivered, they were delivered, and now they're Parma Dharmika. So every sinner has a future, every saint had a past. So now they're saintly people, before they were great sinners. So that means there's hope for all of us also. The future is bright. Some of us may have exalted births and pure lives and shudachar from the beginning of our lives. That is our good karma. But others aren't so fortunate and have spotted careers or checkered careers, as they say. A few dips here and there in the adharmic world. Or maybe a few serious plunges into adharma. But by the mercy of Gaura Nitai and the holy name of the Lord, anything's possible. Angatana agatana patiyasi shakti. And Bhagavan has a very unique power. He has unlimited shaktis. And Shvetashvara Upanishad, Shvetashvatara Upanishad says, Parasya shaktir vividaya shriyate sobhavaki gana sobhavaki gyan balakriyacha. Lord has Parasya Shaktir Vividaya Shriyate. He has so many Shaktis. But this one is very special. Agatana Ahagatana Patiyasi Shakti. This is Bhagavan is unique power. No one in creation has this power. He can make the possible impossible and the impossible possible. So it's impossible by ordinary means for a fallen sinner to become a saint. How is it possible? All wrong activities, all wrong thoughts, all wrong speech, all wrong aspirations, everything sinful, everything irreligious, illicit. But by this sparshamani, nam sparshamani, by the touch of this, by the contact of this touchstone, namachintamani krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha, purna shudo nitya mukta binatvam namanamano. This Krishna's name is Chintamani Nam, this Chintamani gem, Chintamani. Thought gem. Contact with this name changes our thinking. And when our thinking changes, our desiring changes. Sankalpa vikalpa. So then our thinking changes. So then our chintamani, it becomes a gem that transforms our thoughts, transforms our thinking. And we start to think of God. Think of God, remember God, serve God, surrender to God. It all begins with thinking. So this is what the name does. The name crosses our air, the holes in our ears, and plays in our heart, and creates this tremendous effect. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. In the beginning, the name transforms the consciousness, like a Chintamani gem, wish fulfilling thought jewel, and then as the name transforms our thinking. Then when our actions change and transform and go towards the Lord, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindiyor Va Champsi Vaikunta Guna Arnavanali. Says the Guna Arnava, the Varnana, the different, the name one fixes his mind, first the name changes the thinking and desiring of the individual from material to spiritual, from lokic to alokic. And then as the name takes more possession of one, and one submits more and more to Krishna's Chintamani Nam, then he experiences rasa vigraha. The very name becomes the source of rasa, bhakti rasa. Because that name changes our thinking, then it changes our actions, it changes our path in life, from adharma to dharma, from dharma to paramarthic dharma, then from paramarthic dharma to paramadharmika. This Vaishnava dharma. There's so many types of dharma. But the highest dharma is prema dharma. The highest conception of Vedanta is called aesthetic Vedanta. There's Vedanta, which is Brahma Sayujya, or Brahma Kaivalya. This is the param gati of Vedanta. But aesthetic Vedanta is Vedanta with the heart, Vedanta with beauty, Vedanta with charm, beauty, sweetness. This is only found in the personification of the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is a personification of charm, beauty, and sweetness. So his name is charming, his name is beautiful, and his name is sweet. Madhur Nam. Madhur Nam, Venu Madhura, Rupam Madhura, Prema Madhura, Leela Madhura. There's that Madhurastikam by Vallabhacharya. He's describing about Krishna. He says, Vadanam Madhuram, Vadanam, Vadanam Madhuram, Vadanam, your face is sweet. Hasyam Madhuram, your smile, your laughter is sweet. Leela Madhura, your pastimes are sweet. Yamana Madhura, Venu Madhura, your Venu is sweet. So this is what has happened here to Jagai and Madhai. They were great sinners and they become great saints by the contact of Nam and Mahant Kripa and Bhagavan Kripa and Vaishnava Kripa. So this story is further description of their new life. In the previous chapters we heard about their old life, their sinner charitra, their papi jana charitra, their sinful episodes and escapades, arson, murder, rape, robbery. Now in this chapter it's Madhavananda's realizations, his newfound life. He went from darkness to light. He's walking the path of light, divine life, divine light. And so now, what are his activities now? He used to sleep all day and wake up about 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, and then drink a few pots full of whiskey. Then when he was totally drunk, or plastered, as they say, completely plastered, colloquial slang, American slang. Then he and his brother Madhai, and they were called Jagai and Madhai, that was their nickname, they would go out and rob a few houses, then burn them down for fun. It's called arson. So now let's hear about their activities now. Usha Kale Gangas Nana Kariya Nirjan Dui Laksha Krishnanam Laya Pratidini. Every day in the early morning, Ushakal means that Usha, that pink, beautiful pink color when the sun rises, which most people never see because they're deeply, tightly sleeping in the caress of their queen bed. But the pious religious people, they're up at Brahma Muhurta. They already have done so many things. They greet the sun with tarpan and pranams, and they're already clean, bathed, purified. They've already done puja and read Bhagavat Pat. And when the sun comes, they're ready to begin their day. So what do they do every day? At the sunrise, the beautiful pink color, they took Ganga Snan. Then they would sit in a solitary place, Nirjan, in a solitary place to chant 200,000 names of Krishna. Dolak. 1 lakh is 64 rounds, 2 lakhs is 128 rounds. That takes about 8 hours, 9 hours when you become perfect. Dui laksha krishnanam laya pratidine. So they would take the name. So this is quite different. The previous chapters were describing that they were collapsed in the at the charai, or the intersection of four roads. They were just collapsed, lying in the dirt, and everyone would go around them, and they would push each other, and sometimes pull each other's hair, and
Hey, said Jagai, Marai. Like this. They're just drunk. This is when they were waking up about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. But now it's before sunrise, Usha, that there's no, their sun is not visible. At this time, the sun, when they would wake up, the sun would be on top of their head like a spotlight. They would start waking up about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Up all night, robbing, pilfering, drinking. So this is, it's quite a transformation. Incredible transformation. Now they're up before, at the crack of dawn, as they say, before the sunrise, bathing in Ganga, going to a solitary place, not sitting in the middle of the village square, not sitting in the middle of the village square, making a scene of themselves, exhibiting their drunken state before the entire village. No shame, shameless, abominable activity, and they're Brahmins, they're two born Brahmins, Jagannanda and Madhavananda. They become so degraded, and they're right there in public display. Here we are. Everybody would practically spit on them when they walked by. And if anyone, even if their shadow of these two drunks would fall on anyone, they would jump in the Ganga with their clothes on. Simply the chaya touched them. Because in the chaya, is also the karma is also in the chaya. The chit is extended in the chaya. It's a big aparad to step on somebody's shadow. So now, they're going nirjan. They're bathing in Ganga. They're going away to a solitary place to do their smaran, their nam bhajan and their smaran, chanting continuously, sitting on one asan, facing north or east, away from the crowd, away from the hustle and bustle, and just absorbing themselves in them in nam jap and smaran. 128 rounds, continuously 8-9 hours, and no eating, no drinking, nothing, absorbed in nam bhajan. It's all possible by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Apanare dikara karaye anukshan niravari krishna bali karaye krandhan. They continually condemned themselves and cried as they constantly chanted the name of Krishna. Dikara karaye anukshan. Anukshana means moment after moment. Shana means moment. Anu means in successive moments, moment after moment. Dikkara. Dikkara means like fie on me. Like we say, fie on me. Oh, curses to me. Curse. What? Oh, my Lord, I was so fallen. I committed the most wretched activities. I was most abominable behavior. Oh, my Lord. This is called repentance. It's prarthana and repentance. Repentance is... What's the name for repentance? I can't remember. Just that. Anutap. Anutap and Prarthana. So Anutap and Prarthana. And this is a basic religious practice in all religious pursuits. You take Christianity. These are two very powerful practices in Christianity. Because I was raised in that tradition, Roman Catholic. Repentance. You see the Christians carry around placards and signs. Sinners repent! Sinners repent! They're trying to encourage people to repent. And then people reply, for what? For what? What did I do? I'm not sin. What is the sin? Everyone in America drinks. Everyone's intoxicated. Everyone eats meat. Everyone has illicit sex. You know, everyone gambles. This is the way of life. What is this? Sinners repent. What's the sin? You guys are crazy. But repentance and prayer, repenting and lamenting over our fallen condition and our terrible past, and then exalting in the name of the Lord and praying for the Lord for His mercy. Oh, my Lord, have mercy on me. So, and then they're crying. This is the true repentance, because repentance is this anutap. Anutap means repentance, and anutap means fire, burning. So when one has done something wrong, and he realizes it by virtue of his developed sensitivities. By he developing his sensitivities, his human sensitivities, and he realizes he's done something wrong, that realization brings a type of burning sensation. I've done something wrong. So the mind is somewhat burning. There's some tap. Tap means fire. Anutap. And it burns
continuously. So then we respond to that, if we're religious or pious, by saying, oh, I did wrong, this is very bad, I have to rectify it. So that wrongdoing, or that aparad, or pap, or aparad, or sin, or transgression of dharmic law, or even state law, or the rules of ashram and varna, they will scratch the heart, they will rattle the mind and create some sensation, some disturbance, some burning. So, and if one really repents, he's really repenting and really feeling sorrowful and lamenting and begging for forgiveness, then that attrition, that act of attrition and repentance and true submission to the Lord and to the higher mercy of the Lord will create, he'll work himself up to such an extent that he'll actually start crying. As it says here, Krandan, it says here, Apanari Dikkara Kare Anakshan Niravadi Krishnavadi Kare Krandan. So they were chanting Krishna's name mixed with crying. Crying and chanting, crying and chanting. Oh, my Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. So these tears, genuine tears, not alligator tears or false tears, but genuine tears, are water. And when there's fire, fire actually creates water in terms of the creation of elements. Fire creates water, then water creates earth. It goes like this. From sound comes ether, from ether comes air, from air comes fire, from fire comes water. This is in terms of creative elements. So when the fire inside, the fire in the brain, the fire in the mind increases in the mood of repentance, then the heart starts to melt. That fire of repentance melts the heart. And when the heart melts, then it produces tears. The melting of the heart produces tears. Then those tears wash away the fire of sin. The tears of repentance wash away and put out the fire of sin. Because those tears of repentance, they fall on the heart of the Lord. The tears of repentance of the sincere devotee, they sprinkle and they fall on the heart of the Lord. And the Lord responds to the genuine repentance of a sincere soul by eliminating the reaction to that sin. This is called repentance. Sarva dharman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishavi masuja. So this is a very powerful practice if it's done genuinely. Because repentance has two points. It's genuine submission, admission and submission, and rectification. So the admission of one's sins is the beginning of repentance, and then the submission to the mercy of the Lord, and genuine submission along with rectification. The sankalpa that is formed in a sincere sadhak that I will never, ever do this again. With your mercy, my Lord, I will never commit this transgression again, and I beg continually and repeatedly for your constant mercy and protection. But from my side, as much as I can be dhrida brata, as much as I can be determined and have my resolution and mental resolve fixed at your feet, I am determined with every drop of energy in my command to follow this proper code of behavior. So this is what's going on here. These great sinners are now great saints, and they're exhibiting this wonderful principle of anotapan prarthana. And the prarthana is the highest form of prarthana, which is mukhyanam, mukhyanam sankirtan. This is the name of Krishna. Krishna's name is mukhyanam, his primary name, which is saturated with pastimes and lila and all the mercy and potency of the Lord. So they're continuously condemning themselves. Apanari dikkara kare anukshan niravadi krishna bali kariye krandan. And they're crying. This is real chanting of the holy name. Chanting back with realization. Chanting back with submission. Chanting back with petition. Submission and petition. Petition for the mercy of the Lord. My dear Lord, please have mercy on me. I'm really fallen. I'm really helpless. What am I actually anyway? My size of the Atma is inconceivably infinitesimal. I'm an infinitesimal spark of consciousness. I'm a mere spark of you. Mame vamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Mama amsha, I'm a molecular particle of consciousness floating in the ocean of consciousness. This universe is like an ocean of consciousness, and I am but one molecule of consciousness in that ocean of consciousness. And you are so great. I am Anu, you are Vibhu. I am atomic, you are great. I am created, you are the creator. I am maintained, you are the maintainer. I am the receiver, you are the giver. Without you, I am nothing. With you, I am everything. This is the heart's call of the surrender of the Sharanagata Vaishnava. Without you, I am nothing. So this combination of Anuttap and Prarthana is extremely powerful, extremely powerful. But we're very proud living entities. We don't want to submit to anyone or to speak or pray to anyone. So that's the difficulty. This great flood of mercy is being withheld from us because of our pride. But if one, every religious tradition, whether it's Muhammad or Christian or Hindu, this principle is very much active amongst the realized, employing the principle of Anuttap and Prarthana. Paiya Krishnara Rasa Parama Udhar Krishnara Dhayitya Deki Sakala Samsar. Having achieved a taste of Krishna's boundless mercy, Jagai and Madai saw the entire world as intimately related to Krishna. Krishna Ras Parama Udhar. So they were tasting Ras. Krishna Dayatya Deki Sakala Samsara. They saw everything. Deke Sakala Samsara. They saw everything in this samsara. Everything in this Maya Jagat. Everything in this world they saw their beloved, basically. Krishna Dayatya, Dayata. They saw their beloved everywhere. There's tattva vichara and lila vichara, consideration of tattva and consideration of lila. So Gita gives us tattva, but Bhagavatam gives us lila, the jnana and vigyan, the description of the concepts, then the application of the concepts is given in Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat and Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvat Sarvamcha Mayi Pashyati. He's saying, Krishna's telling Arjuna, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him. I am never lost to him, and he is never lost to me. So this type of vision, this verse that Krishna is speaking in Kurukshetra to Arjuna, Krishna is actually remembering someone. Because when Krishna was in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was about 90 or 100 years old. But 50 years before this, he came to Kurukshetra. And he met his Dayata, his Parama Dayata. He met Srimati Radharani. Because there was a Surya Grahan, there was a solar eclipse. Such an extraordinary and rare solar eclipse that solar eclipse only happens once in a day of Brahma. That's really rare. Once in a day of Brahma, that solar eclipse that happened 5,300 years ago in Kurukshetra, and every single king and every single cultured person assembled there to take bath in Samanta Panchaka, these lakes that were created by Parasaram. So they were all there. All the Dwarkavasis came there. All the kings from all over India assembled there. And of course, not only that, but Vrishabhanu Maharaj also came. He's a king. He's a Vaishya king. He's a king of the Vaishyas. He was a leader of the Vaishya community. Not exactly king, but he's called the leader. Sometimes he's referred to as Brajaraj Nanda, a king. But in terms of Varna, he was Abhira, which is a category of Vaishya. But he was like the leader of the Panchayat. So he was referred to as a king, leader of all the Brijbasi Gwals. So he was there, and all the Brijvasis were there, gopis, gopas, they were all there. And when Krishna was there, then he had the most wonderful and tender meeting with Radharani and all the gopis, briefly. Of course, he was in Rajvesh, Dwarkanath, so no pagari, no bansuri, no Vaijayanti mala, no simple dhoti and chadar, golden long coat, long dhoti, all gold everywhere, necklaces. It's called Rajvesh, not Gopavesh. Too much wealth, too much heavy armor, heavy, everything heavy. And this Krishna's appearance weighed very heavy on Radharani's heart also. But at any rate, they were there. So when Krishna was there, he had very intimate, beautiful talks with Srimati Radharani. So when later, 50 years later, when he's on the chariot speaking to Arjuna, he spoke this verse, his mind was thinking of Radharani. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati. Because only the gopis have that power, only the gopis have that ability to see Krishna everywhere. Because you can see according to the depth of your love or your knowledge. Atmanam manyate jagat. Atmanam manyate jagat. One considers or thinks of the universe in terms of the position of himself. So if you're vidvan, then you have gyan drishti. If you're a bhakta and you're full of rasa and bhav, then you have bhav drishti. You see with the eyes of love, or you see with the eyes of knowledge. Gyan chakshush or bhava chakshush. Or bhakti gyan bhav chakshush. The devotee has bhakti gyan. He has the highest gyan because he understands Bhagavan. That's it. Bhagavan is the complete, fullest aspect of Godhead, is Bhagavan. Vadanti tat tatvavidas yat taj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanti shabhyate. Vyasa is telling in Bhagavatam that the Vedantis, the knowers of the truth, those that have searched the entire Vedas, they've reached the end of the Vedas, they have concluded that the absolute truth is understood in three features, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. So Bhagavan Tattva, understanding of Brahman, the absolute personality of Godhead, this is the highest, topmost consideration of Godhead. This is Sarva Guyattamam. Krishna is telling in Gita different levels of knowledge, Rajaguya, Rajavidya, Pavitram Paramambaman. He says, Rajaguya, he says, I'm going to tell you some Rajavidya, some topmost kingly knowledge, which is secret. But then there's Guyam, then there's Guyatara, then Guyatam, Guyatamam. Then there's Sarva Guyatamam. There's four levels of knowledge given in Gita. Guyam, Guyatara, then Guyatamam, then Sarva Guyatamam. So there's different levels of knowledge for different adhikar and different jivas and different devotees. Not devotees, but different jivas. Some are on the adhikar and have the capacity to conceive, the capacity to conceive and relate to and understand Brahman. Brahman is everything. Advaitin viewpoint. And some have a more broader conception, a more realized depth of knowledge, and they can see, no, the absolute, the Supreme Person is localized everywhere in everyone's heart, Paramatma. Then the fullest conception is this Bhagavan conception. This is Sarva Guyatamam. Sarva Guyatamam. Guya Utam. Utam Guya, then Sarva. Of all the topmost secret knowledge, my dear Lord, my dear Arjun, I'm going to let you in on that. Of all knowledge, Sarva Guya, of all the secret knowledge, of all the secret teachings of the Vedas, they have these terms, the secret teachings of the Vedas. Is it Kundalini? Is it Tantra? What is the secret teachings? So many secret teachings are there. Mantra, Tantra, Itihas, Kavi, so many things are there. Jyotirveda and Ayurveda, so many types of Ved. But Krishna is saying, Sarva Guya Uttama. Sarva Guyatama. He says, of all the secret things, this is the topmost. This is the topmost of secret things. And this is what Krishna reveals in the Gita. All these different levels of knowledge. So this, the topmost secret knowledge is all about the personality of Godhead. the Supreme Personality of God, at Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan, Purna Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Purnatam, the complete aspect of Bhagavan. There's Purna, Purnatara, Purnatam. Even when you come to Bhagavan, which is the topmost truth, even Bhagavan has hierarchy. Purna Bhagavan, Purnatara Bhagavan, Purnatam Bhagavan. So Purnatam Bhagavan is Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Rasaraj. Rasaraj. Rasika Shekara, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Rasavai Saha. So Krishna tells Arjuna, listen, I'm going to tell you of all the secret knowledge. I'm going to tell you the topmost secret of all secrets. Are you ready? What is it? Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji manamaskuru mame vaishasi satyamte pratijane priyosime. So when Krishna was on the chair with Arjuna and he's speaking Bhagavad Gita, he was remembering his beloved Priyaji. There is no one that's more Priya than Priya Radha. Priyaji Shri Radhika. So his mind was there at the feet of Radha, at the heart of Radha. And thinking of her, then he made this pronouncement. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I never lost to them, and never lost to me, and that can be none other than Srimati Radharani. Speaking to Arjuna, thinking of Radharani. Because Arjuna is a great devotee in Sakya Ras, a great friend, such an intimate friend in this Vaikuntha Bhav. But Radharani is Krishna's pran in Madhurya Bhav, Brajadam. A hierarchy in the holy... There's a hierarchy in the spiritual world. There's a hierarchy in Bhagavan. And there's a hierarchy in Rasa. Shantaras, Dasiras, Sakiras, Batsaliras, and finally Madhura Ras. And then there's a hierarchy in Madhura Ras. There's Swakya Madhurya Ras, and there's Parakya Madhurya Ras. There's Pati Bhav, and Utpati Bhav. And it goes on and on and on and on. Ananta Rupam, Ananta Rasam, Ananta Leelam. This is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. The emporium of unlimited rasas. Ocean of nectar. Purnamritam Swadanam. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhavamaha Devagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kai Ravichandraka Vicharanam Vidyavadu Jivanam. Anandam Buddhi, Anandam, Ananda Ambudi, Ocean of Bliss, Anandam Buddhi, Vardhanam. It's an ocean of what? Salt, of ghee, of liquor, of milk, of kheer. So many oceans are there in this universe. Various universes have different oceans. This is an ocean of bliss, transcendental bliss. Anandam Buddhi, that should be sufficient. If one magana, if one submerges in an ocean of transcendental bliss, that's enough. We can stop there. We don't have to search anymore. We found it. But anandam buddhi vardhanam, it increases and increases. Not like this ocean that just stops at Juhu Beach. It doesn't come to Lokanwala. It doesn't come to Villepari, and thank God it doesn't. Someday it will. And hopefully you won't be here. Unless you know how to swim. But this ocean is ever expanding. Anandam Bodhivardhanam. Then, Pratipadam, at every step, Purna Amritam Swadhanam. So you're swimming in an ocean of bliss. And every step you take is full of nectar. You're floating in bliss, you're drinking nectar, you're walking nectar, you're talking nectar, you're remembering nectar. You are Amrit Rupam. you are nothing but nectar. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is telling about the holy name. So these Jagai and Madai, they became so purified by the holy name that they were actually showing by their pastimes, by their activities, they're showing, this is the Vigyan aspect, they're showing the Gyan, the Bhagavad Gita Gyan. Krishna is saying, yes, here's a principle. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, he's never lost to me because he's seeing me everywhere.
Well, can you tell me any example? Can you show me any example of that precept? This is the precept. This is gyan. Then there's vigyan. The knowledge and then practical, theoretical knowledge, practical knowledge. Can you show me any example of this precept? Yes, I can. In the Bhagavatam, Radharani, she's seeing Krishna everywhere. And that's explained in Dasama Skanda. How she saw the trees and she was seeing Krishna. And everywhere she was seeing Krishna. And here with Jagai and Madai. It says here there was Krishna Dayata Deki Sakala Samsara. They didn't see everywhere the samsara. Says for the liberated soul from this kinshin, Mukta Jeev, the Mukta Jeeva, he's seeing, what does he see? He sees Vishram Purna Sukhayate. Vishram Purna Sukhayate. He sees all universes full of happiness. Janma Mritya Javyadi Dukha Doshana Darshana Nedeki. He doesn't see it. He's absorbed in samadhi. Niskinshan, sadhu. Vishram Purna Sukhayate. The whole universe is full of happiness. Because he's seeing God everywhere. God in suffering, God in joy, God in war, God in peace. He's seeing everywhere. So this, they're seeing this. Krishna, Rasa Paramudhara. The Paramudhara, they were the greatest recipients of the mercy of the Lord. The topmost Udhar, sentiments, welfare, benediction of the Lord. And as a result, they were tasting Krishna Ras. And when you're tasting Krishna Ras, means you're experiencing Krishna. And when you're experiencing Krishna, then you see Krishna everywhere. The purport says, people who cannot see everything in relation to Krishna are called attached, samsaris. They have no realization that the most magnanimous Krishna is the embodiment of all rasas, Rasika Shekhara. Having received the mercy of Mahaprabhu, Sri Jagai and Madhai began to see all material objects in relationship with Krishna. Now they do not find the material world as an unfavorable place. The state of being devoid of rasa is nothing other than the consideration of the impersonal Brahman. On the awakening of the mellows of Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti ras, all material activities become surcharged with God consciousness. Rather than considering the objects and persons of this material world as objects and persons for my personal sense gratification, one sees all the objects of this material world and all the persons of this material world as worshipable. All of these objects and all these persons are meant for the worship of Krishna and are meant to be engaged in satisfying the senses of Krishna. Once a young man got married in Calcutta. Then he went to Mayapur to meet a Siddha Baba. The Siddha Baba's name was Gorakishore Das Baba. He was Siddha Baba. Gorakishore, he's my Parat Paraguru. Parat Paraguru. He's a guru of my Param Guru. And he met Siddha Baba. And he said, oh, I want to give you the good news. I recently got married. This is my wife. So Siddha Baba said, you think you're very happy, you're smiling from ear to ear, and your face looks so effulgent, and your eyes are twinkling with anticipation of joy forevermore. But because you think that your wife is going to satisfy all your desires, but my dear boy, you should understand that you are Krishna Das, and your wife is Krishna Dasi. And together you should combine to serve Krishna. You are Krishna's servants. Right? Ekale Ishvara Krishna. Ara Sabya Britya. There is one enjoyer, one controller, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and all else, everyone else is his servant. So you and you Krishna Das, and your new found Seva partner, not Bhog partner,
partners in bhog, partners in crime, your new seva partner, Krishna Dasi, should join together and serve Krishna with all of your body, mind, and words, kayo, mano, and vakya. So when hearing these very correct instructions from Siddha Baba, Gaura Kishore, the twinkle in the man's eyes stopped twinkling. And the effulgence in his face became dull. And the smile on his lips turned down to a frown. He gave 1 rupee donation. He offered pranams and said, Jai Gurudev. And he went back to Calcutta. And what happened with that 1 rupee? The guru gave it back. There's more to the pastime. Because later, this Siddha Baba had one servant named Bihari Das. And he said, Bihari, where is that 1 rupee? And Bihari said, I'm keeping it. Maybe we'll have an utsav, feed all the Vaishnavas. And so Gaura Kishore said, I couldn't sleep last night. Bihari Prabhu, I couldn't sleep last night. I can't bear the weight of carrying that 1 rupee. The weight of that 1 rupee is bearing too heavy on my mind. I can't bear to carry the weight of that 1 rupee. So you please keep it. And when Krishnadas returns next month for his monthly visit, you please return it to Krishnadas. So that's the epilogue to that story. So when one awakens Krishna consciousness, then he has his proper vision and proper bhav and proper attitude and concomitant activity or behavior. As a result, the mood of enjoyment, this bhav, this bhog bhav, bhog icha, no longer remains in the mind of such a devotee. And because he no longer has a mood or propensity to enjoy material objects or persons, then his propensity to envy others never arises. And by doing bhakti bhajan, he becomes totally free from envy as he becomes a pure lover of God. This is a beautiful sentence. Harmony is inevitable when everything is considered enjoyable to Krishna. Now we're facing discord or disharmony because we're competing with God. Everyone is declaring themselves to be the supreme God or enjoyer, as Krishna aptly summarizes in Bhagavad Gita. This is called Asura Sampat, the wealth of the demon, the mentality of the demon. And there's a little demon in all of us. There's a little demoness in the ladies, demoness, and a little demon in all the men. And Krishna, he outlines that psychology to Arjuna in the Asura, Daiva Asura Sampat Adhyaya. Ishvara aham bogi, siddham balavan suki. This is the demoniac mentality. I am God. I am the controller. Ishvara aham. Aham bogi. I am the bogi. I am the enjoyer. Kror pati goli. I once went to one Marwari's house for a program and had chukka chuk bog. And afterwards he went around with this big box with these round balls. He said, these are digestive aids. They were round. Goli means round. Goli. I said, what are they called? He said, these are called Kror Pati Goli. Kror Pati Goli. There is Hingostak Chorna and 3 kinds of salt, Saindav Namak and Kala Namak and Alagalaga Samudra Namak, all this jira and this and that, whatever. He says, very good. When you eat chukka chuk bog, you take 1 kror pati goli, then aram se. Everything is digested. Ekdam body is saf hoga. Kal suve ekdam pet saf hoga. Bariya. And go again for round 2 tomorrow. You're ready for round 2. So I was very appreciative of that offering and accepted it. But the point is that everyone is competing to be the enjoyer. So there can't be harmony because everyone wants what everyone else has. And everyone wants to be the center and everyone wants to be the enjoyer. So everyone's competing to be the center. The father, the husband's trying to be the center with the wife, and the baby's crying, "No, I'm the center. Listen to me." And then, of course, the husband loses. When the baby's not there, then the husband's the center. And he says, "Hey, I'm the center." "Yeah, I'm in the center." Then, "Meh." Then, "Bye. See you around, Jack." Then he's like, "Well, I was a big guy around here. Now I'm nobody. It's just this kid is 24-hour service, you know. So now I'm not the center anymore." So he laments, but he tries to be friendly. "This lousy kid, you know. My wife wanted these kids. He wrecked everything, you know. I was like flying in the sky, you know. I thought it was God, and she was like massaging my feet and cooking for me and rubbing my back. And now she won't even give me a time of day. She's busy." So this... when there can't be any harmony within one's mind or within one's society or within one's life or parivar as long as one is absorbed in sense gratification. So harmony is inevitable when everything is considered enjoyable for Krishna. When Krishna's in the center, when there's a common center, you can have harmony. You have to have, in order to have harmony, you have to have one center. Like if you have music, if you want harmony in music, there has to be one raga. And all the instruments are playing on that one raga. If you're playing a different raga, then there's no harmony. There's one raga, then all the... and there's one tal, there's tal, and there's rag, and then all the instruments are connected to that. Then it's a beautiful... it's called a symphony. A harmonic symphony. So life itself can be a harmonic symphony. Very beautiful, very poetic, very organic, and very free-flowing if you have a common center. The common center to have harmonic symphony in human life is God, the Supreme. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvalokam aheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam yatvam mam shantam richati. Harmony is peace. Peace is harmony. We can never be at peace with ourselves or with the world unless we're vibrating in harmony with the Supreme Conductor. The Supreme Conductor of human life is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. If the strings of our heart are vibrating in harmony with the Supreme Conductor, then we enter the symphony of the spiritual world. We become a contributor to the beautiful harmonic music of the spiritual world. Otherwise, we become a competitor and stay forever in the samsara, playing our discord. Doing, doing, ding, doing, kong, pong, king, long. That is called discord, disharmony, and in your language is called samsara. All out of tune, all competitive, all anxiety, all destructive, and punar janam. Samsara chakra. So Jagai and Madai are showing us the way to dance to the eternal music of Krishna's flute by surrendering, by following the path of anotap and repentance and dedication and submission to the Lord and chanting the holy name as much as possible with mind, heart, and soul dedicated to the pleasure of Krishna, we'll attain perfection of life and go back home, back to Godhead. So I'll conclude the class on that note because it is a symphony. It was a symphony and now bong, madaram samapayat. Is there any questions? This is our last class, at least in this and on today, and see what tomorrow brings. We, in the neophyte stage of Krishna bhakti, sadhana, whatever happiness we have is called abhas. At the level of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, then, as we said, anandam buddhivardhanam. When you're in an ocean of bliss, it's not that you're in the ocean for 1 minute and then you're in the desert the next minute. You're in the ocean forever. You never come out. You move in that ocean step after step, relishing rasa. Pratipanam purnamita swaranam. So the momentary drops of happiness or joy or communion with God that come in a neophyte's life, this is called bhakti abhas or Ananda Bhas. It's a reflection. It's called a semblance of the true thing. Otherwise, there's no cessation. It's not that when you enter the ocean of bliss, you don't come back. And that is the true point of distribution. When you're in the ocean of bliss, if you're floating in an ocean of bliss, it's easy to distribute liters and liters of bliss. Because you're surrounded. If I'm in an ocean of bliss and I give you 500 liters, will I run short? Because if I give you 10,000 liters of bliss, I'm in a whole ocean. I think I have more than 10,000 liters in my reserve. So this, the preacher, the book distributor, who's feeling the presence of the super soul dancing in his mind, or presence of the Lord, and he's able to effectively contact the hearts and souls of others, and that gives a certain happiness because he's satisfying the Lord. Krishna says in Gita, there's no one more dear to me. There's no one more dear to me than he who preaches this divine science and secret truth to the devotees. So the pracharak of bhakti, he has a very confidential relationship with Bhagavan, depending on his own inner purity and his own submission and surrender. He can be used as a suitable instrument. Nimitta matram. Nimitta matram. Krishna says, be thou an instrument in my hands. So when anger comes, the anger is actually our own deficiency. The anger is our own deficiency. It's self-generated anger. It's not anger generated from the Atma of someone else. The Atma is not made of anger. The Atma is Satchidananda. He's an anuchit. He's a particle of consciousness which is suffused with eternity, bliss, and knowledge. This is the constitutional nature, the ontological nature of the Atma. Anuchit. He's an atomic particle of consciousness suffused with a minute portion of bliss and knowledge and eternity. Existence, eternal existence, endless existence. We are eternal. Never was there a time when I did not... Not tvevaham chatu na sham, not tvam name janadipa. Never was there a time when I did not exist. So anger, envy, these are all coming from the ahankar, false ego platform, not from the chitta. They're not coming from the chit. So our own false ego is not purified. So anger arises within us. Oh, he didn't take a book, or oh, they're not taking this Krishna consciousness. This gentleman, that was also, then you, yes. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the direct name Radha does not come. But there are some verses, as you know, in 10th canto, that when they're describing that Krishna left all the gopis at the Rasa dance. This is chapter 29 through 33 in Dasama Skanda. Then the gopis went searching for him, and then they sang the gopi geet in their separation. And then, of course, there's pranaya geet also when they meet him. There's another geet called pranaya geet. There's five or six geetas in the 10th canto. So they, when they're searching for him, then they find Krishna's footprints and another gopi's footprints besides Krishna's. This is in Bhagavatam. Then they start saying, oh, who is that other gopi? And then they say, "Who are that gopi, she must have, what is called anaradito." The verse says the word anaradito. So that gopi, she must have worshipped Krishna more than any of us. So therefore Krishna has left all of us alone, left all of us, and he's gone off to be with her alone, and left us thousands and thousands. Padma Puran says on the full moon night of the Rasa dance, the Maharas and Sharad Purnima, which is in the month of Ashwin, actually. But in Ashard Purnima, Krishna, there were 2 million gopis in the Rasa dance. This is in Padma Puran. 2 million. In other words, they were unlimited. Of course, there's the most intimate sakis of Radha, the Asta sakis, but there were so many sakis there, millions. So Krishna left millions for the sake of one. So the name is not there, but there's different ways. There's called, in Shastra, to understand Shastra, there's the literal meaning, then there's called Parokshavad. Parokshavad means the implied meaning or the indirect meaning. So Shastra, that's why Guru is required to understand Shastra, because basically Shastra is secret. That's why it's called Sutra. Vedanta Sutra. This means secret. It means code, codified. It's like a zip file. You know, on computers you take vast information, zip it. Compress it. So compressed knowledge, compressed secrets and compressed knowledge becomes a sutra, a Vedanta sutra. Then the sages and rishis and realized acharyas and mahajans, they unzip it because they have a zip program on their computer, a Norton program, unzip program. So their vast intelligence and their vast realization and purity, they're able to unfold the secrets of the Vedas. And because most of the Vedas are actually written in Parokshavad. However, the same author of Bhagavad Puran has also written Vishnu Puran and Padma Puran and all the others. And Brahmavivart Puran. And in those Puranas, he does mention the name. Because that he's just giving those other Puranas, they are not Rasa Shastra. They were all written together. He was despondent. Vyasa was despondent. He was unhappy. Something was missing in his delivery of all this Vedic literature. Narada Muni came to him and said, yes, you wrote the Bhagavad Puran, because he compiled all the 18 Puranas, including Bhagavad Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam, but he wasn't happy. He wrote about the Vrindavan Leela. He wrote about the Leelas. He wrote in Padma Puran, Vrindavan Leela. He wrote in Skanda Puran. But in all those Puranas, he doesn't bring out the rasa bhavas of the hearts of Krishna's Brijvasis. So that's why he felt dry, he felt empty. So Narada told him, he said, you go back, you rewrite the Bhagavat Puran, and you inject the rasas of the hearts of the Brijvasis, but in Parokshavad. So then Vyasadeva went into Samadhi. And the language, the second writing, the second sitting, that's why sometimes when you go around India, they say Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam in Vyasagufa and in Badrinath. Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam in Vrindavan. There's different baitaks of Vyasadeva where he wrote the Bhagavatam. It's a fact, because he was traveling, he wrote in different places, different portions of the Bhagavatam. But for the second sitting of the Bhagavatam, the final edition, revised edition of the Bhagavatam, he wrote that in what is called Samadhi Bhashya. Bhashya means language, Bhashya, like this, Bhashya. That's called Samadhi Bhashya because he had to not only recapitulate the Leelas of Krishna by Samadhi, but he had to enter the heart of Radha and Lalita and Yashoda and Sridham and Subal and Patrak and Raktak. And the servants and the friends and the lovers and the mothers and enter the heart of Chandravali and Rukmini and the Swakiya Bhav of Dwarka and the Parakiya Bhav of the Gopis, Pati Bhav and Dwarka and Utpati Bhav and Vrindavan. So that had to be done in Samadhi. So by the blessings of Narada Muni, who wrote the Bhakti Sutras, Narada Bhakti Sutras, by the blessings of Guru, he entered into Samadhi. Then he tapped the reservoir, the Prem Nidhi, the unlimited treasure of the hearts of the gopis, and that's what's in Bhagavat Puran. That's what makes Bhagavat Puran Amala Puranam, because the Bhakti Ras, the Braja Ras, is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so because Radharani is so confidential to the Lord, and is that because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva is actually revealing the heart feelings, the Mahabhav, the Madanakya Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. That is such a secret thing that he can't say the name. In Vishnu Puran, in Padma Puran, in Skanda Puran, Brahmavart Puran, he's mentioning, he says Radha, Lalita, Vishaka, the names are there. But he's not revealing their Mahabhav, and he's not revealing their hearts or their rasas. But this rasa is so confidential and so secret, this is not for the anadikaris, not for those anaryas or anadikaris that aren't qualified. So by Guru Kripa, then it's revealed. So when you read the Tikas of Bhagavatam, commentaries in the verses, they go back to the Padma Puran and they go to the Skanda Puran. They say this verse of Gopi Gita spoken by Radharani, this verse of Gopi Gita, this verse of Rasa Gita, of the Rasa Panchadaya, this is spoken by Chandravali, the Vipaksha Sakhi of Radha, the anti-party. So they tell, this is spoken by Lalita. It's all there. So this, and then there's another story in Brahmavivart Puran, that this Shukadev, Shuka means Tota, Tota means parrot, Shuka, Tota. This Dev, this is a transcendental parrot. Dev means transcendental, Divya means Deva, means Divya and Divyati. Many things this word Dev means. So Shukadev means that spiritual parrot. And it says, some verses say, Shriya Shuka, in some editions of Bhagavatam it says, Shri Shuka Uvacha. Some say, Shriya Shuka Uvacha. So, the Acharyas are explaining that this phrase in Bhagavatam, Shriya Shuka Uvacha, means the parrot belonging to Shri. Because Radharani and Krishna, in their Nitya Dham, Goloka Dham, they have pet parrots, like we have pet birds sometimes, or dogs or cats or whatever. So they have pet parrots. So Radharani has a pet parrot named Manjubhashini, Manjubhashini, Shukshmadi, Shukshmadi. Of course, they're also describing their qualities. Manjubhashini, Manju, charming speech. That's the name of one of Radharani's female pet parrot. Manjubhashini, then Shukshma, Shukshmadi, which means subtle intelligence or something, like, you know, refined, Shukshmadi, subtle, refined intelligence. And Krishna has a parrot, Daksha, and Vichakshana. Vichakshana and Daksha, these are some parrots. So this parrot of Radharani, who was witnessing all of Radharani's lila, her Ratikeli lila, her Kunjabi, Banbihar, Kunja lila, and all her lilas, Julan lila, this parrot was always there. This parrot is kept in a golden cage. When Radharani's in Nidiban in Kunja lila, there's a golden cage and the parrot sits there. Because she, and there's couples, there's parrots, there's husband, wife, parrot. They sing for the pleasure of Krishna. And sometimes they have there's one chapter in the Shastra called Shukshari Samvad. Shukshari Samvad, male, female parrot talks, discussions, where they're doing Guna Kirtan, they're doing Radha Guna Kirtan. Shukshari Samvad, Radha Guna Kirtan, Krishna Guna Kirtan, where they're glorifying the qualities of Radha and Krishna for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So these parrots are, that's why they're called Vichakshana, Daksha Vichakshana, because they're expert in the leelas and qualities, Nam, Rup, Guna, Leela of Radha and Krishna. They see it, they serve it, and they're Nitya Parishads of the Lord. So that parrot of Radharani, this is in Brahma Vaivart Purana, that parrot was asked to stay in this world. When Radha and Krishna went to Nityadham, then there was somebody named Padmavati. Padmavati is the wife of Vedavyas. And she was yawning. She went, oh, like some of us are doing now. And when she yawned, that parrot of Radharani flew into her mouth. That Shuka, that Tota. And that parrot stayed for 16 years in her womb. And that parrot became Shukadev Goswami. So when Shukadev Goswami came out, he was qualified to give the real sweetness of the Bhagavatam, which was recorded by Vedavyas. Now, Shukadev doesn't mention the name of Radharani because he is a Premi Bhakta of Srimati Radharani. He knows the Mahabhava of Radharani. He's witnessed it as a parrot. Because the rupam has nothing to do with the vastu. Vastu is they're all siddha jivas. They're all perfected jivas, whether they come as parrot or as sakhi or as gopa or as tree in the spiritual world. That's their form for seva. They're seva rupam. But their vastu is that they're pure devotees. They're premis. Premi bhaktas of the Lord, irregardless of the rupam. They have briksha karup or harini karup, deer rup, or whatever the rupam, sakhi rup, gopa rup. So now he was parrot rup, now he's manush rup, young boy, 16 years old. So he was so much in love with Radharani, Shukadev, that if he were to mention her name, a phenomenon would happen called avastachitta. Avastachitta, he would go into trance. If he was to mention to Pariksha Maharaj, oh, there was one gopi, when Krishna left the Rasa dance, he left all the gopis, but he went with Radha. He would lose it. Shukadev Goswami would lose it. He would go, it's avastachitta. His consciousness would become avashta, he would become inert, he would become jada. He would fall unconscious, and he would stay in that state of samadhi for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month or two. And this would not be very beneficial for Parikshit. Why? Because Parikshit had 7 days to live, and 7 days to get the complete, the rasa of Bhagavatam. So this is why, there is many reasons why Radharani's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I've given you a few of them. But it actually is mentioned. And just to add an addendum to that, Shiksha gurus who guide me in bhajan, they've instructed me that, as we said, Atmana Manyate Jagat, you're saying I don't see the name of Radharani in the Srimad Bhagavatam, although there's some, it's alluded to in these few verses in 10th canto, anaradito. Anaradito. So radito means Radha is there. The syllables are actually there. Radha. Anaradito. One gopi is saying, well, some other Anya Radito. Some other gopi must have worshipped Krishna. That's the verse, more than we have, so therefore he's left. But our well-wishers have told us that when we are Radha Premis, when we are Krishna Premis, then we will see in every shloka of the 18,000 verses of the Bhagavatam, we will see that every shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam is glorification of Srimati Radharani. So it takes one to know one. We see through the eyes of knowledge, we see through the eyes of bhav. Or we don't see at all. If our knowledge is nil, and if our bhav is nil, then we can't see anything anywhere. We have to just follow our guardians and do what they say until our vision is restored, until our knowledge matures. Appears, first of all, and matures, second of all. So as we grow, our vision grows. As we love, our bhav drishti grows. So we pray, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the rasa sarup of Radha and Krishna. The book itself is the rasa sarup of Radha and Krishna. So what we understand and what we realize depends on our adhikar, on our level of spiritual advancement. But the actual fact is, quite to the contrary, that Radharani's name is not anywhere in the Bhagavatam. At the point of realization, when we attain Krishna Prema, we'll say, oh my God, Radharani's name is in every verse. Radharani's name is in every verse, her qualities are in every verse. Every verse is describing Radharani's qualities. Every verse says Radharani's name. Every verse says Radharani's form, rupam, and every verse says Radharani's lila. That will be the enriched viewpoint of the pure devotee when he reads the Bhagavatam. That's why it's Rasa Shastra, because it increases moment after moment. And the Bhagavatam, it says in first canto, Rasika Bhavuvaka. Rasika Bhavuvaka. It's meant for Rasikas and Bhava Bhaktas. They can really drink it. If you have jaundice and your liver is diseased, someone gives you sweet nectar drink, you'll say it's bitter. Because the ability of the tongue to perceive sweetness is destroyed with a serious case of jaundice. It's called biliousness. When you have liver disease, you can't detect sweet. I had jaundice when I was 17. And I was given sugar candy as a cure, because I had a German doctor from Germany. So usually I give you injections. All kinds. He said, you eat mystery. They didn't have mystery, so he gave me some sugar candies, chewy gummy candies, all just sugar in different colors. They're called chuckles. Candy is called chuckles, and they have different colors. Now, I felt like I was chewing rubber. My eyes are all yellow. White of my eyes is totally yellow, really yellow. And heavy case of jaundice. And I was like lying in bed for 6 weeks, no strength. I was just eating candy all day. And it tasted like rubber. Because they were gumdrops, like chewy kind of thing, like a chewy, sweet, chewy thing, like licorice type thing, whatever. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, wow. So we can't taste the sweetness of Bhagavatam because we have the jaundice of ignorance and envy. But when knowledge replaces ignorance and when love replaces envy, Krishna's love, then we can relish the Bhagavatam, taste it like the sweetest candy in the universe. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. I would like to, from my side, I would like to thank all of you kind-hearted souls for giving me an opportunity to render some service and attempt to relish one drop of these sacred scriptures. Because what is a teacher without students? A teacher is meaningless without students. And teachings are meaningless without teachers and students. So you have given my life meaning by your presence. And I hope that by our service we have given a new dimension and some new meaning to your lives also. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai. Yeah.